go back now to the what would have been the first case this morning, United States against Van Loo.
Good morning. May it please the court. Brendan Schiller. I apologize for my tardiness, Your Honor. I apologize to the court.
We expect counsel to take precautions so that they are here on time.
Okay. We're here on United States versus Van Loo. Facts are simple. He pled guilty to crossing interstate lines to elicit sex with a minor. He, in fact, did cross interstate lines to elicit sex with a minor. We're here on a sentencing question on the issue of whether the stipulated conduct, which involved multiple sex acts over three different days, they should have been grouped for purposes of sentencing. The district court did not group it, and we contend that it should have been grouped. We contend that.
Do you agree that these additional events of statutory rape should be treated the same as formal counts of conviction?
We agreed to that. I mean, we didn't contest that.
All right. So we're to proceed as if there were three counts of conviction.
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
That wasn't contested. The issue is fairly simple. Under the statute, whether or not the ongoing sexual relationship was substantially the same harm, or whether each sex act was somehow a different harm. The district court, this government contends, and the district court apparently found that based on...
None of my moral knowledge of biology, I assume the three separate events were separated by some period of time.
There was an extended period of time.
How long?
I believe it was about a month and a half in between each.
So they're three separate, isolated by a month or more?
It's three separate weekends, apparently multiple acts over each weekend.
The multiple acts in any particular weekend aren't involved, are they?
They're not. It's just the separate weekends. And during the course...
I was baffled by his prowess with the way you wanted to group it.
No. It was three separate weekends, and during the course of the time, he was in constant communication over the internet and either seducing, corrupting, or discussing, however you want to define it, but obviously engaged in continuous, ongoing communication with the girl, the 14-year-old girl. But under the statute, again, the question is simply whether this is substantially the same harm. And while this court has not addressed specifically this instance, it's addressed the definition of substantially the same harm in a number of other instances. And the distinction has always been whether you have an ongoing, continuing relationship or something that separates and defines it. When you're talking about, for instance...
What are we to make of Example 5 in Application Note 4?
And that's...
Which says that rapes on different days are not grouped.
Right, and that's what apparently the district court ruled on. The response to that is manyfold. First, just the mere fact that sentence is in there, as the Ninth Circuit has said in Sneezer, means that you have to envision...
I want to give a piece of caution. If you were here for the earlier argument, citing the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal seems to excite my colleagues, so I'm going to be careful about it.
Unfortunately, it's the only case I have to hang my hat on for that particular example. But it clearly from the text itself... clearly from the text itself, it shows that it would envision times when it's not grouped. But the other point is the question is, does rape in this instance also include statutory rape? And there is a distinction. There's a distinction both in law and in reality between rape and statutory rape. There's a reason you have that modifier, statutory, in front of the word rape. It means, okay, this was consensual, but under the law, our society has determined that we're going to vitiate the consent.
Well, it means that as a matter of either law or fact, people of particular ages are deemed unable to consent. And that actually is no different from what we call statutory rape and your ability to make a contract to buy a new house.
And that's been deemed by the law.
Consent is just invalid. It's deemed as if it were not consensual. And therefore,
It's rape.
There you are. It's rape.
And consent. And that's deemed by society. The courts went.
Well, this court has also taken a position that statutory rape is a crime of violence.
Well, actually, in many instances, this court has taken the exact opposite position. For instance, in the career offender jurisprudence of this circuit, in U.S. v. Thomas and U.S. v. Ziang, this court analyzed various sexual abuse cases and statutory rape cases to determine if that was a crime of violence and determined that it wasn't a crime of violence because it didn't necessarily inherently involve force. So this court has distinguished in sentencing guidelines sometimes, and that's the point. The question is, listen, this is an unsympathetic client. It's a vulgar act. You read this and you react to it. But the question is, in a cold, hard analysis, is there a distinction between two violent, forceful rapes on two different days and a sexual predator involved in a sexual relationship with a 14-year-old. And there is a distinction. There is a separate harm that occurs. If somebody is violently raped 3 months apart, or if somebody's seduced via the internet over a three-month period, it's hard to make the argument, but there is a distinction.
I said with a straight face, it's hard to make the argument. Yeah, I agree.
But we wouldn't have to have laws which distinguish and which vitiate consent if there wasn't a distinction.
I'm not criticizing you for making the argument, you understand.
I appreciate the court's indulgence. But it's a legitimate argument. There is a distinction, in fact. We wouldn't have to have laws which vitiate the consent, either by statute or by court, if there wasn't a distinction. I'll save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Schiller. Mr. O'Tolley.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Chris O'Talling, and I'm appearing today on behalf of the United States. The issue in this case is relatively straightforward. As your honors and defense counsel has already noted, the issue is whether or not multiple instances of sexual contact between the defendant and the same 14-year-old girl over a period of time constituting approximately 3 months are in essence a composite harm that should be grouped pursuant to the guideline provisions of the United States Sentencing Guidelines. The answer is no. Those multiple instances of rape should not be grouped. As the district court found, the primary analysis, as Judge Easterbrook has already mentioned, is Application Note 4 to Section 3D1.2 of the Guidelines, and specifically Example Number 5, which states in clear and unambiguous language that multiple acts of rape against the same person on different days are not to be grouped. And that is a perfect encapsulation of what happened in this case.
I suppose the opposite side of that coin is if the rape had occurred, three acts of rape occurred within a matter of the same rendezvous, that they would be grouped.
Well, Your Honor, and I think that is that's the position that was taken by the Ninth Circuit in the Sneezer case, where the defendant, in fact, raped the same victim within a period of approximately 5 minutes. And
he
that
did?
Is a very different circumstance than what we have presented in this
it
case.
Was a, he raped her three times in 5 minutes?
Well, what happened in the Sneezer case is that there was the defendant abducted a woman from the side of the road, took her to a remote location in the middle of the desert, raped her in one instance, and apparently was able to rape her again shortly thereafter.
5 minutes?
Your Honor, I don't remember specifically. 5 minutes, it was a very, very short period of time within which he was able to commit both acts of violence against that particular woman. And in that case, and in the Sneezer case, the Ninth Circuit said, because that was one act and one period of time, both of those acts of rape could be grouped. But that is...
I would think the defense was defense of impossibility of performance, a kind of a contract provision.
A fair point, Your Honor. And I didn't quite see that in the reported decision, but nevertheless...
No, I doubt it.
Yes.
Might be the rationalization behind the opinion, however.
That's certainly a possibility, Your Honor. But obviously that presents a very different circumstance than what we have here, where the first act was committed in approximately August of 2003, the second act over a week in September of 2003, and finally an act that took place in November of 2003. So we have at least multiple months between the different acts. Again, going back to the example five, really does encapsulate exactly what was going on in this case. And that is why the district court made the ruling that it did, that the numerous acts of sexual contact between this victim and this defendant should not be grouped. They were not one composite harm. They were separate instances.
Don't repeat yourself a lot, you know, here. You run out of things to say. You can quit any time.
There was one additional thing I would like to mention, Your Honors, and that was with respect to the reply brief that was filed by the defendant, in which he raises the possibility of the application of Booker, the Supreme Court's recent decision in Booker, to this case. In response to that, the government would respectfully submit that the court consider the 11th Circuit's recent decision from last week in United States versus Rodriguez, which the government is of the opinion is the proper way to address the plain error issues presented in cases where Booker might be applicable.
Is there any Booker problem here? I thought everything was stipulated, and Booker doesn't apply to stipulated facts.
The only instance in which Booker might be applicable in this case, Your Honor, because you're in fact correct. Everything in terms of the factual instances were stipulated. The only situation where Booker might be in play is the fact that the district court was not aware of the fact that the guidelines are in fact advisory as opposed to being mandatory. And in that sense, there is a possibility that the court might construe that as being a Booker issue.
Not clear after Booker that the guidelines are advisory when there are stipulated facts. Guidelines are advisory as a remedy for a Sixth Amendment problem. If there's no Sixth Amendment problem, one would imagine there's no remedy.
Well, and Your Honor, I think that you absolutely accurately present the issue.
Yeah, don't argue with him when he's on your side. So.
And for that reason, Your Honor, I would respectfully submit that the court consider to affirm the sentence, and I will, no further questions, I will sit down.
Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Schiller?
Yeah. One, there is no Booker issue, we didn't contend it was a Booker issue, and if it looks like we did, we're withdrawing that contention. I do want to point out a couple. I want to continue
perhaps
this
because you fear that additional discretion would do your client more harm than good.
Absolutely, and in fact, we would argue that if there was a Booker issue, that both him and the government stipulated to the authority of the guidelines. The guidelines were mandatory at the time the act occurred, at the time the plea occurred, at the time of the sentencing, at the time of the appeal. So therefore, there would even maybe be a due process implication if it was somehow remanded under advisory guidelines. Even though I'm hitting a brick wall, I want to point out, make a couple more arguments as it relates to this distinction. First is the number of Illinois cases I cited where they attempted to convict multiple convictions based on ongoing relationship, statutory sexual abuse relationship. And in each one of those cases, the Illinois courts said you can't do that. It's one ongoing relationship. And that leads me to the analogous cases, which I tried to get into and never did. There's a variety of analogous cases where if you have a violent robbery on one day and another violent robbery against the same victim on the same day, that's clearly separate harms. But if you're in the store slowly stealing money, The loss of money is no less, but it's one composite emotional harm over time. And this is, like I said, analogous to all of those cases where you have that. It's just hard to sit back and look at the analogy because of the unsympathetic client, the unsympathetic defendant. Therefore, I would ask that the court take a look at the analysis and really determine whether it wants to come to a conclusion that a situation like Sneezer, where you have separate violent rapes, somebody would get less time than a situation like this where you have an ongoing relationship with a minor, and ask that the court remand for resentencing and order the lower court to group the sentences. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. The case will be taken under advisement. We'll hear argument now in our